Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. This was part of our reading for the week, John, chapter 8, and we're going to go to verse 48. John, chapter 8, verse 48. And I hear pages turning, and I see Bibles open. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. John chapter 8, verses 48 through 59 says this. The Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I am not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." At this the Jews exclaimed, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died and so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You are not yet 50 years old," the Jews said to him, "and you have seen Abraham?" "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple guard grounds. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we do want to exalt you. We do want to glorify you, because you are worthy of all of our praise. Your word transforms our lives, Lord. And we just ask that the word that we read here this morning, that we have read in your word, will do just that in each and every one of our lives. Father, I hide behind a cross and just ask that the message that you have laid on my heart to speak to your people here this morning will be used in some way to help your word get across and better understood. I thank you for the opportunity and privilege that you have given me to be your spokesperson here this morning, Lord. And Father, I just pray that you guide the words that I say so that they will be the truth that you want me to proclaim to your people. To you be the glory, and I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Here's a hypothetical situation. At some point in time, we had all been given an assignment to do. And that assignment was this. For 3 years, we are to follow and document the words and actions of another person. And this person could be someone famous, or it could be someone not so famous. The person could be a man or it could be a woman. But who the person is, for the sake of this assignment, is not important. But there is one thing that we will all do in this hypothetical assignment. We will all follow the same person. And in this assignment, we could use whatever technical devices are at our disposal. We can use video cameras. We can use digital cameras, audio recordings. We can use anything we want to help us learn as much as possible about this person that we are following. And then when our 3 years is up, we have an assignment at that point. We have to write a short story about the person that we have followed. And this short story, this book, is going to have some guidelines. First of all, it cannot be any longer than 50 pages. And it must be in Arial font, 10-point, and single-spaced. So we are limited to what we can write about this person that we have followed. So once that 3 years is over, where do we stand? Well, at that point, we all now have this wealth of information at our disposal. We have memory card after memory card of all this video that we shot. And we have cases and cases of audio tapes that we have recorded. And we also have all these memories of what we personally remember about this person that we have all followed. So now it comes time to write. We sit behind our computer and we're ready to type. So the question is this: what will we say? What will we write? And since each and every one of us in here have been following the same person, we're all going to see that person from a slightly different perspective, from a different vantage point. If we, when all the books are complete, if we read each other's books, we would see that there is going to be some overlap because we have all said the same thing in our books. But also there's going to be some differences too, because maybe you have seen something that none of the rest of us did and you wanted to write that in your book. But I guarantee one thing about this book that we all write about this person. We are all going to write what we all feel is most important to us. And therefore, what we all feel is going to be most important to the person who is going to read our book. Well, before us here, we have the Gospel of John. One of my favorite, probably my favorite book of the Bible. John is one of the 12 apostles. John is also the self-proclaimed disciple that Jesus loved. John is also part of the inner circle of Jesus, along with Peter and James, his brother. And here we find John writing about a person that he has followed for 3 years. Writing what he has seen, writing what he has heard, and writing, most of all, what he feels we need to know and understand. The person that he has been following? Jesus of Nazareth. I know this past week's reading assignment was John chapter 6, verse 45, through John chapter 9, verse 41. But right now, I'm going to skip ahead to the very end, almost the very end of the Gospel of John, to John chapter 20, verse 31. And I'm just going to read that one little verse. Actually, I'm going to read 30 and 31. And we are given a glimpse in these two verses as to why John wrote what he wrote in this book, in his three-year assignment, so to speak. And he writes this. John 20, verses 30 and 31. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. Verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. There are four different Gospels, four different Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each writer is going to tell us about Jesus from his own perspective. But the perspective that John wants us to know and understand about Jesus is this perspective. He wants us to know that Jesus is divine. Jesus is, in fact, God in the flesh. If we go back to our imaginary book that we wrote about this imaginary person that we followed, we wrote this. I like doing that, this. I've done it before, haven't I? This. And you always wonder, what's this? Well, this is whatever you want this to be. In this case, we wrote this about this person because this is what we wanted the reader to know, whatever this may be. But as we read the 21 chapters of the Gospel of John, the divinity of Jesus is the this that John wants us to know. John wanted us to know that Jesus of Nazareth is Emmanuel, which means God with us, and that he is the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and the Word dwelt among us. So does anything in today's reading, what we just read here from John chapter 8, does it help us establish the fact that Jesus is in fact Emmanuel, that he is in fact the Word, that he is in fact God? Well, if you remember last week, we talked about four conversations that Jesus had with four different people. One was with Nicodemus, the second with the Samaritan woman, John chapter 4, the third, John chapter 5, the invalid at the pool of Bethesda, and the fourth, John chapter 6, was the crowd that followed Jesus after he fed them the loaves and fishes. And in each conversation, Jesus wants them to think spiritually, and he does not want them to think physically. He wants them to focus on God and not focus on themselves. So how does Jesus control this conversation that points his listeners to his divinity, his own testimony about himself, that he is, in fact, God? Well, you know, it really doesn't come as any surprise. We're going to go to the book of Exodus, and it doesn't come as any surprise to me that Greg read what he read this morning. And no, we don't get together throughout the week, and I don't tell him what I'm going to preach about. But he just so happened to talk about Exodus chapter 3 this morning, and that's where I want us all to go. Let's go back, Old Testament, second book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus chapter 3. We're going to use Exodus chapter 3 to help us answer this question. Is Jesus of Nazareth truly God in the flesh? In Exodus chapter 3, we have a great story about how God called Moses to be the deliverer of the Israelites and deliver them out of bondage from the Pharaoh and the Egyptians. We all know the story. We've all seen the movie. Charlton Heston plays Moses, right? And he does his thing, and he will set the people free. And we all know about the plagues. We all know the whole story. But here in chapter 3 is how the story gets started. We all know the burning bush. We all know what happens. But pick up with me in verse number 13. Of chapter 3. Now God and Moses are having this little conversation. God is controlling the conversation, of course. And Moses says to God, verse 13, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Two key words there. I am. Those two words need no further explanation. I am. God speaks to Moses and says, this is all you have to say. I am that I am. You ever notice that he doesn't say, I was, and he doesn't say, I will be. He says, present tense, I am. Well, if we go back to the Jews and the Jesus time in John chapter 8, the Jews knew about the conversation that Moses had with God. The Jews knew the significance of the words, I am. I am meant Jehovah God. And only Jehovah God and nobody else. And no one dare ever blaspheme and say, I am about themselves. But what happens here in John chapter 8? Oh my, let's see how this all plays out. We have the Jews and the crowd claiming that Abraham is our father. They say it in verse 39. Abraham is our father. And they say it again in verse 53. Abraham is our father. Are you greater than our father Abraham? And we have Jesus kind of responding to that, and he says this, your father Abraham, in verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now, this child's been with Jesus for a little while, and they're not getting a very good impression on him. And they're starting to put two and two together. And they may have even remembered him from a little toddler back when he was the son of Joseph, the carpenter, and Mary. And they're thinking to themselves, no, wait a second, Jesus. Wait a second. How do you know this? You're not a scholar, and you're not a learned man. And Jesus, you didn't even go to school. And you're not a Pharisee, and you're not a teacher of the law. And I know that's what they're thinking. And then Jesus takes the conversation just a little bit further, and then he starts making claims about his own divinity in verse 58, and says this, before Abraham was born, I am. There's those two words, I am. My friends, there's only two things that you can do with a statement like that. Either you believe it and you worship him, or you dismiss the statement and you discard him. And the crowd, I assure you, knew of the implications and the ramifications of what Jesus had just said. He said, I am, and no one dare say, I am. So what did they do? Verse 59, they picked up stones, and they were going to stone this man. Because when you say, I am, you're a blasphemer. And that's calling him, that person, equal with God. And blasphemy is punishable by death. John, the author of this gospel, he wants us to know this. And here we are, 2,000 years later, reading something that he wrote. And he wanted us to know specifically these words of Jesus, of course, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus himself does, in fact, claim his own divinity. When Jesus claims that he is indeed equal with God, and Jesus is equal with God in his person, he's equal with God in his works, he's equal with God in his power and his sovereignty, he's equal with God in his judgment, and he's equal with God in his honor. And all that is from John chapter 5, verses 17 through 23. Jesus has every right to say, I am. Well, today, okay, maybe we have not written an imaginary book about an imaginary person that we've followed for 3 years. But we have read a real book about a real person. The author of the book, John the Apostle. The person that he wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth. The Christ, the Son of the living God. So here's the question. Questions to all of us, and the questions to all of humanity. Are we going to believe what John wrote? And because he wrote about Jesus, you're going to do one of two things. Either you believe and you worship Jesus, or you're going to dismiss what he says and discard him completely. You must do something with Jesus. By doing nothing with him, oh, that's doing something with him. It's discarding him and just tossing him away. We all need to make a decision what we are going to do with Jesus. Is Jesus indeed God in the flesh, as he claims to be? Is he the great I am? You've got to choose. But choose wisely. Your eternity is going to depend on it. Let's go to God in prayer.